Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for a chance for us to come back together, to be gathered together in your name. We pray, Lord, that this time would not just be a moment where we sat in some comfy chairs for a bit or we just sang a few songs, but that we encountered the living God, you. Lord, help us to truly believe that you're for us. Help us to truly believe that you're with us every step of the way. And that with you, we can handle anything and everything. We pray, Lord, that you would anoint these words, you would take this scripture, that you would you'd water it, that we would see it grow because of your grace. And we would be different people because of it. We pray this in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. Amen. We're going to turn to a text in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Some people like saying 1 Corinthians. It doesn't matter. Either way, you're fine. But in Corinthians, it is a wonderful example of God's grace because it's to a church that is just so off the mark in so many ways. The church in Corinth had really messed up in big ways, things that we would go, no one would ever do that at a church. And you go, oh my gosh. And God included it in the scriptures, I think, because he wanted us to realize that sometimes, well, no, it's when you get two or more people involved in a place, it's going to get messy. There's going to be things the church does that's just not pretty. And it's not saying it's okay. It's saying, listen, we got to trust in the Lord through these difficult times. And so this church is a church that, again, has needs some serious love, some discipline, some encouragement, and support. And this is something that was written, I think Paul was trying to help encourage them in knowing what God is doing and how he invites us to be partners with him. And that we have a responsibility. You and I have a responsibility in what God's doing in people's lives. That he's counting on us. Not because he can't do it, but because he invites us to be part of what he's doing. Let's just jump into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5b through 10. Servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. This is Paul saying that. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. In other words, they're not God. They didn't make it happen. They don't have the supernatural. They don't have the Spirit of God that they control. It is God who makes things grow, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. So it's not that they don't matter. It's not that God doesn't notice. It's not that what they did didn't have an impact. It will have an impact. In fact, it does have an impact, and God says, I'm going to reward it through what Paul's saying. But he wants us to get the proper vision, the proper focus of why God has called us to be partners with what he's doing. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace of God, he has given me. I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. This is the word of the Lord. I want you to think about that. This wise building. How are you building? How are you building with care? For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building, God's field. He chose to plant life in you. He chose you and said, I love you. You are a precious child. I'm just going to just take a hypothetical here. Say your birthday was today. And say, apparently that's funny. You'll figure that out when you see the big cake in the back. Say your birthday was today. God chose you to be his representative, to be his co-worker. He chose you on this special day to remind you of how much he loves you. Our birthdays aren't special because they're just, oh, okay, woohoo, that's, you know, it's that day. It's so much more than that. God chose you. And he wanted you to know how much he loves you. And birthdays are a great, great time for us to be reminded of his goodness, of his love for us. Sometimes we feel older. Right? When you're a kid, you're like, Mom, Dad, I don't feel any different. Like, I felt the same as I was like six. Like, now I'm seven, no difference. And yet, right, over time we start to feel more of it, right? Like it starts to catch up kind of thing. But didn't think that amen was coming there, but that's okay. But isn't it true that if we're here, that means God's not done with us? That he is sovereign and he is good. So if he has us here, he's not done with us. Maybe, just maybe, you've been put here to be an influence in someone else's life, to be a minister, to share the hope that we have in Jesus. Now, it's not because you have it all together. It's not because you and I believe all the right things. Everything's boxes checked. It's because God is good. And he says, I want you to be involved. I want you to be a partner with what I'm doing in someone's life. For we are co-workers. He doesn't need us. I mean, just wrap your mind around that. But because he's so generous, he invites us to be about someone else's life. Now, take a little time warp thing. Go back in time and try to remember who was the person in your life that God used to help you to know that God was more than just a word. What person spoke truth into your life? What person put flesh on those bones to help you know that this was more than just some myth, more than just some ancient words from an ancient people a long time ago? Who helped you understand that God was personal? You owe them. How do you pay that back? You pay it forward. You invest in someone else. You help someone else that doesn't know, that hasn't heard, and share the hope with them. Now, how do you do that? Well, that's depending on the situation, depending on the person. Number one, pray. Pray and ask God to help you know what to do, where to go, how to say, what to say, what not to say, and so on. But it's so important that we humble ourselves and say, Lord, who do you want me to minister to? Now, does again, not because you have it all together, but because God is good and he invites us. Here's a truth that you might have never considered. You cannot influence someone, that's really dark. You cannot influence someone you don't know. Let's try that again. Let me try this. Here we go. You cannot influence someone you don't know. He doesn't think that's true. That's okay. Not true. Over time, if you don't know them, you're just part of the noise. Over time, knowing them. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's my point. It's so important that we understand what God is doing in someone's life. Usually takes a relationship. Usually it's over time. Will we have these random moments where we can meet people and encourage them? Absolutely. Airports, restaurants, absolutely. But consistently over time, we need to be involved in their lives. Another thing is, every child deserves a champion. Think about that. Now, maybe you never came to church when you were a child. Maybe you never heard about this till later. I respect that, I'm grateful that God's touched your heart to bring you here. But every child needs that. What we're finding is people don't have a Christian memory these days. What that means is since people didn't grow up in the church, they don't come back to the church because they never knew the church. There was a pattern for several decades from the late 1900s throughout the 20th century, that you saw people would grow up in the church, kind of go do some things over, you know, they graduate, they kind of go da-da-da, they have kids, they come back to the church. What they're finding is people never grow up in the church, don't know where to return. They don't know how to return. They've never made that connection. And so it's important for us to understand, man, the kids that we do have, we better invest in them wisely. We better be really good at how we care and build in their lives. But they need a champion to never give up on them, who understands the power of connection, who helps them and insists that they become the best they can possibly be. That there's so much more that a kid needs than just cookies, than just some juice. They need to know that people are going to be in their lives. Every kid needs someone who knows their history. I mean, that's their parents first and foremost, right? They need someone who knows where they come from. I had a wonderful conversation last week, actually. We had played some some games and stuff like that with some of the youth, and one of the moms was picking them up, and as they're getting in the car, we're doing some stuff out in the pumpkin patch and stuff, and so she had some questions about some things, and I said yeah. She's like, what do the flags again mean up in the sanctuary here? I said, it's not a FIFA World Cup match coming. I said, it's not. I said, this represents all villages that we have over 20 different nations represented here that God has brought here that are first generation, that are natives from those countries that have become partners with us. And she's like, wow. I said, yeah. I said, yeah, if you know anyone that's Cuban, we're looking for a Cuban to join. Now, if you know me, you know why I'm saying that, because my wife is Cuban, but she's second generation, and she's like, man, we got to find a first. And I said, honey, I don't really go up to people randomly and say this, until last week. Funny thing, as I'm talking with her, she's like, that's interesting, because my dad was Cuban. I said, really? She goes like, yeah, yeah. She said, well, he was in Cuba. And I went, oh, okay. I said, but so you're not Cuban? She's like, no. I went, oh, okay, well, let me know if you hear anyone. Later that night, she tells me, she's like, you'll never guess. My dad actually was born in there. All these years, never knew this. I thought it was Jamaican. Apparently, I'm Cuban. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what? You need to know your history, even if your parents don't tell you. Not sure what to do with that one. But kids don't learn from people they don't like, though. There's the truth. If they don't like you, thank you for agreeing that with time. If they don't like you, guess what? They ain't paying attention. One of the things that... You guys are so kind. You are. You, especially the choir. They sit and smile and nod like they're listening. Not everyone can do that. Middle school, when I do middle school youth group, one of the best things and the hardest things, one of the best things about it, though, was, man, if you were bad, kids would be like, is this guy done soon? And you're like, I can hear you. Like, I'm right here, And they would, no filter, they'd be like, this is bad. And I'm like, man, I got to get better at this, But it was a great little, test of fire that really challenged you to go, okay, how am I connecting with this child? How am I connecting with this student? There are students that God has put you around. It might be a neighbor. It might be down the street. I was down at Marge's house. We were putting up shutters before the hurricane, and her husband and I were talking and stuff, and I'm like, man, you got a nice pool here. Now, again, I was dying. I was, like, melting, okay? So let's just get real. That water looked real good. And as I'm talking with her husband, I'm like, man, I said that looks really refreshing. I didn't have time. I had to go to another house. But he's like, yeah, I don't know. Last time someone's been there, maybe years. And I went, what? I'm like, man, I saw like 5 basketball hoops just on her road alone. I'm going, you could have a sign up here. This could be like midweek church service over here. Oh, sorry, Mark. There you go. Marge's like, thanks for playing in my week. It'd be a good thing. But it's amazing when you can connect with a student, and usually the best way is through fun. Once they know that I can have fun with you, then okay, they start to listen, they start to pay attention, and it's amazing how through that you can really connect with people's lives. And so, who has God placed you around? Who do you need to really build life into? Every kid needs a leader who can discover them now. Here's the challenge that I have found: is that over time, kids keep changing. The same color that they liked last week doesn't mean it's going to be the favorite color this week. That's okay. Kids are allowed to change. The challenge is for us to be open and to learn it and not be like, well, you used to like being called Benjamin. Why aren't you liking Benjamin anymore? I don't know. I just don't like it. I like Ben. I don't. But it's those changes and those challenges, but we got to be able to discover them again now. Now, I'm going to give you a few ways of how to do that, that I think are incredibly helpful. Embrace. That think about this for preschool age, that they need to know that through physical trust can be established by a hug, that things are safe, that they're okay, that a hug for them tells them that they're loved, right? A hug for them lets them know that this is a good place, and especially the younger the children are, usually preschool age and under, that they're a little more terrified of those strangers. They're a little bit kind of like, you might have a kid that hides in between a parent's leg. And the parents are amazing, by the way. My kids never did this. But I see kids, and parents just walk with them like this, no big deal. Like, they just walk in between the legs, and I'm like, hats off. I would have been tripping over. The second way is to engage. Embrace younger. Elementary age, engage them. It helps earn relational credit. It helps them to know again that they can believe. They can believe. They'll believe just about anything from a stranger, by the way. Stranger tells them, hey, I think it's going to rain. They're like, oh, let me go get a rain jacket. Let me go get an umbrella. Or they'll go, hey, let's go get the muddy boots. Let's go have some fun. But engage them. Help them to know they matter. A third way, and this is probably more middle school. It's each one of these can be used in every age group, but especially kind of specific here for middle school. This proves a relational commitment. When you show them you love them, not that they're perfect, not that they got it all together, but to say, hey, listen, I'm with you. I got your back. They need a consistent adult because guess what? Nothing else in their life is consistent. No time in their life, when they hit that puberty age, are they going to have more changes in their body. They start to smell something, and they're like, what is that? And they don't know it's them, okay? It's a challenge, but it's so important to help them through this, to let them know they're loved. We are consistent to help them believe and to help them keep believing. In addition to that, finally, for especially like high school age, it's about mobilizing them. It's about leveraging that relational commitment that you've been building over the years, because they can only trust people, again, who show up consistently, to partner with something significant that has got to be bigger than them. It's got to be bigger than the latest and the greatest. It's got to be something that really matters. One of the greatest things about this new and upcoming generation is they really want to make an impact. They want to make a difference. The big challenge is sometimes they're just waiting for it to just fall out of the sky. I wouldn't work there because, you know, that's not really what I want to do. People still need to eat. They'll still need a roof over your head kind of thing, right? But it's about helping them understand that what they can do together can be so impacting, can really make a difference. Who are the people in your lives that God has placed? Now, before you say no one, before you say, oh, I don't see my kids or my grandkids or fill in your blank, who do you need to start praying for? Maybe you need to start asking God, who is the person, who are the people that you need me to start partnering with? Last week, I spent some time and talked about marriage, talked about relationships, and talked about how important it was to invest, how important it was to work together. That was 2 weeks ago. Then we talked about partnering last week as a church family and what that looked like. Now we're dealing with another part of the church, children, and trying to understand that if even if you don't work in the children's ministry, even if you don't serve or volunteer in there, we still need you to pray for them. We still need you to help encourage the parents. Help them to know that they're not in it alone, that when it gets hard, guess what? It's okay. When they're super tired and they don't think they can do it anymore, guess what? We've been there. They can make it. And again, lean on other people. But look at again those four ways of trying to help them know they're not in it alone. What would it do to help them, their preschooler and under, to just give them an embrace, to let them know God loves them. We're so glad that God brought them here. To engage them where they're at. Challenge them. They're like little scientists at this age, like elementary age, man, they just start like experimenting and trying this, trying that, and affirm them. It's so challenging. I mean, you and I think, because we were teenagers at one point, hey, we've got through it, they'll get through it, no big deal. We forget how difficult middle school is. Middle school is tough. No, I don't know of anyone. There's some person out there that, you know, just had an amazing middle school time, but I haven't met them yet. Maybe Musafar. But the reality is, it's a challenge. And sometimes we don't realize that this world's very different than what we grew up in. The stuff that they can have on social media, the stuff that kids can get messages from, that you think they're safe because they're in your house. No. There's so much of an influence today from outside. We have to be mindful of that. We have to help them understand that God's with them every step of the way. And again, to mobilize them. Every child deserves a champion. You and I are called to stand in the gap. If you are over 18, then you are tapped on the shoulder right now to stand in the gap. Now, maybe you need, you know what? I'm not doing well myself. I don't think that would be a wise choice. That's okay. So we're on an airplane and the oxygen masks come down. They don't say put the oxygen mask on the child first. They say put the oxygen mask on yourself first. You got to take care of yourself first before you can help someone else. So if you're not in a healthy place, guess what? Yeah, you need to get healthy. But maybe, just maybe, things have been clear skies, smooth sailing. Maybe God has put you here to be an influence in their lives. We have a preschool that's going to be gathering here about, we say 11:15. Now, one of the things I find is our 11:15 service, which is still, it's still small, but we have people that come here about 11:20, 11:30, 11:35, okay? So not 11:15 is kind of more of like a, what would you, suggestion, like kind of thing, right? But wait, if you say their children are singing, they'll be here at 10:45 waiting to get through the doors. We might be having some cake back there for, again, someone whose birthday might be turned 80 or something. Congratulations. But just hypothetically, back there, they'll be waiting going, are you guys done yet? Because we need to get in there and save our seat for 11:15. We understand that the way through to these parents' hearts is through their children. And I'm so grateful that we have a church that said way back years ago that we want to build a place that the families and the community would know God loved them the other days of the week, not just on Sunday mornings. We have an amazing teacher, a staff here that loves children, that wants to partner with us to help us create an environment where God can help things grow. Parents are planting seeds. The teachers are watering. God is going to make it grow. We're doing our best with that. We need other partners. We need people that say, hey, I'm in it. How can I serve? How can I help? Could be helping a child learn their alphabet. It could be helping with a manatee food packs. It could be Sarah's Kitchen. There are kids everywhere. Who's God called you to be? Where's he called you to go? Every child needs a champion. I like the hero thing. I'm good with that. The challenge that I think about is where would I have been if it wasn't for those people in my life? How would God have had to get my attention if it wasn't for those consistent leaders who didn't get a lot of fanfare, who in middle school I didn't know the word thank you very well. In high school, I was like, wow, they're not as old as I thought. Come on, anyone over 25 is in the column of old when you're in high school. Everyone. At 25, you're over 25, you're old. And you're like, I was 24, I was cool. What happened? Now I'm 25, no more cool. My point is this. We need to be very, very interested in the things God is interested in. And he is so, that scriptures are bent towards the brokenhearted. The scriptures have a bent towards those who are poor, who have been forgotten. The scriptures are bent towards those who are widowed, those children who don't have that influence. There is just a bent that the Lord cares. And when the church cares about the things God cares about, then it's exactly what God has called it to be. I pray that this would not just be something that falls in your ears, but, well, that's nice for those people that have kids or those other. May God grab your heart. Their kids dying inside. And that's not me trying to make it more real. That's reality. My job isn't to try to paint a picture. My job is to help you see the picture. And I really want you to understand that it's real. And there are kids that need to hear that God loves them and then see it and experience it. I just want you to pray about it. I want you to pray for those that have said yes. I want you to pray for those that need to say yes. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the champions in our lives, for those that have stood in the gap for us, that have spoken encouraging words, that have allowed us to understand that your love was so much more than words on a page, that your name was so much more than just something we said around mealtime, but that you are alive and well, and you so desperately, desperately want us to be a partner with you in what you're doing in this world. We thank you for this community. We thank you for the families at the school. We give you praise for our teachers, our partners. We ask that you continue to fill them up with your grace and your spirit. Help us as a church continue to serve them and pray for them. And Lord, we pray that you would guide us in how you want us to move forward. How do you want us to champion the youth? Champion the children? How can we serve and serve well? We're humbled, Lord. We're humbled because we would not be here if it wasn't for those people you put in our lives. We would not be here if it wasn't for your grace. Lord, give us courage to take that step. Help us to believe that you are who you say you are, and we are who you say we are. We humble ourselves before you. We want to pray for those in our community, those brothers and sisters in Christ at the Grove and Palm City and Any River, and our brothers and sisters around the world, the kingdom coming. We pray that your church would be a movement, not a monument, that we would be on mission with you, partners with you. We pray for our country and our world. We pray for the leaders. We pray for humility. We pray for grace. We pray for favor. We pray for wisdom. May they serve you well. And Lord, for all those who are hurting, all those who don't know how good you are, maybe they've forgotten how good you are, may you show them again through your Son, by the power of your Spirit, your love for this world. Lord, you taught your disciples while you were here on this earth a way to pray, a way to reach out to you, a way to call out, a way to make sure that we're attuned to what you're doing in this world by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Before the benediction, later today, some of you knew Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack Kirch was an amazing man who, from Ivy League trained to just a man who really stood by his principles and stood up for what he thought needed to be heard and needed to be said. One of the things that, if you're not able to make it, if you didn't have a chance to know him, later today at 4, we're going to, as a community, we're going to celebrate his life. But one of, didn't know this quote from him. I had met him as a parent of one of the preschoolers. When my oldest, Aliana, was coming here, met him and large life man. Almost always had a hat on. It was kind of impressive. I was like, do you have always, like hat racks? He must have a hat rack. Anyway, this is one of his quotes. I came to AVPC because I love George. He stepped in to serve as the interim when Pastor George retired. And I wanted to see him win. He said, I stayed to be your interim because I love you. I want to see you win. That was the kind of man he was. And grateful for his ministry, grateful for what he's done. Reach out to the Lord and give God thanks and praise for what he's done through Pastor Jack. You can also reach out to his family because they're right over here, but I'm not going to point anywhere near them. But see maybe Diane, and maybe you'll meet some people there. In between, maybe saying a prayer of thanks. Just know that God is good. He is working in our hearts and lives, even when we sometimes don't feel it, even sometimes when our circumstances don't show it. He's at work in bigger things than we know. Receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you, where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace. Go in his love. And go in his power. Amen. If you're a guest, again, we want to say thank you for coming. But we have another Sunday kind of tradition. We join hands across the aisles. And as we join hands across the aisles, we sing a farewell blessing. In that farewell blessing, just follow along with the words. It'll help you. You'll know what to do. And then afterwards, if you feel led to be prayed for, maybe you need, maybe you know someone else who needs prayer, we're going to have a couple people up here ready to serve in that capacity. Okay, so you're invited to do that. Let us praise the Lord and give thanks as we celebrate together as we are now the scattered church. Amen.